We're going to start in Proverbs. So, Stella and I, as we drove, we got to listen to, well, I guess we listened to that one teaching, right? Mm-hmm. We listened to a teaching, and it was somebody reading a teaching from a book that I have been reading, and it happened to be one that I just read. One of the things, well, he says several things. He said one of the things he really hit between the eyes was the love that you have for God's word. And he went on to say there's three things that you really need to do if you want to have a great life spiritually. The first one is love God's word. Second is to have a good, strong fellowship or communion with your Heavenly Father. And the third thing is to confess who or what you are in Christ. And I thought those are pretty good. I mean, there's other things also. But so today we're going to look at loving God's word, because that's really important. And if we love God's word, then we love God and we love His Son. So in Proverbs 4, verse 20, it says, "My son, attend to my words." It means pay attention. "Incline thine ear unto my sayings. Let them not depart from thine eyes. Keep them in the midst of thine heart. For they are life to those that find them, and health to all their flesh." So it says that God's word gives life, and it's health to all flesh. God's word is so important. We can go to 2 Timothy now. But God's word is so important. And I know when I first got in the word, I had this insatiable appetite to learn. Every opportunity I would listen to a teaching, or every article or book I could read about the word teaching me different things about the word, I just couldn't get enough of it. And but that hunger and that desire should be there no matter how long you've been in the word, no matter what you're doing, no matter where your life takes you. In 2 Timothy chapter 2, everybody knows this verse, it says, "Study to show thyself approved unto God." And that word study means to be diligent, right? It means to give your best effort. Be diligent to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. And we learn here that it's not only a word that gives life and a word that gives health, it's also the word of truth. We heard that in the manifestations. You know, it's truth. Truth never changes. Facts change. Things that are true to fact change. You know, if you say, it's kind of funny if you say, you know, medical science puts themselves out as experts in everything. But if you look at the history of medicine, and not, you don't have to go too far back, what is true and what is the accepted way of treating something at one time is rejected 2 years later. And sometimes it's even found to be harmful. You know, so it's not truth, it's just man trying to do his best, hopefully. Sometimes they do, sometimes they don't. So it's truth. It's the word of truth. And we are to be diligent with it, rightly dividing the word of truth to the best of our ability, right? Nobody's perfect, but we are to do the best that we absolutely can. Let's go to Psalm 33. So really what I'm giving you here is reasons why you should want to learn the word and have it in the midst of your heart, right? Because there are great benefits to it. It's very important. It's life. It's truth. Psalm 33, verse 3. Verse 4. It says, "The word of the Lord is right, and all his works are done in truth." So the word right is righteous or upright. And it says, he loveth righteousness and judgment is justice. The earth is full of the goodness of the Lord. What a cool thing. And the word goodness is loving kindness. So it says, the earth is full of the loving kindness of the Lord. You know, all we have to do is look for it. All we have to do is be willing to accept it. It's everywhere. God's loving kindness is all around us all the time. And his word is truth, and it's righteous, and it's just. So what a great thing. How important is that? Let's go to 2 Corinthians. We're going to go all over the place today, so I hope your fingers are nimble. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. And it says in verse 19, well, let's read verse 18. And all things are by God, it says of God, or it means by God, who hath reconciled us to himself by Christ, Jesus is omitted in the text, and hath given to us the ministry of reconciliation, to wit, or to know, that God was in Christ reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them, and hath committed unto us the word of reconciliation. His word is a word of reconciliation. And, you know, it brings us back into harmony with God. And when we speak it, it can bring other people back into harmony with God. You know, back into agreement and harmony. What a great thing, you know. God reconciled us to himself. He did it and he didn't have to. He did it because he wanted to, because he loves us. And he did it by way of his son, Jesus Christ. Let's go to Philippians chapter 2. And it says in verse 15, that ye may be blameless and harmless, the sons of God, without rebuke, in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation, among whom ye shine as lights in the world. Sometimes we lose sight of that, you know, but we do shine as lights. And it is a perverse world. You know, the world is just not a great place, really. I mean, nature can be beautiful. You can appreciate that God made everything and he made it so wonderfully. But the world, the people in it, pretty much are not so great. Just the way it is. God bless you. Then it says, holding forth the word of light, that I may rejoice in the day of Christ, that I have not run in vain, neither labored in vain. It's the word of life. See, it says there, it's the word of life. God's word gives us eternal life, doesn't it? And it tells us about eternal life. And it tells us how to live that life that we live today. You know, if we had to have, well, sometimes when I've talked in the past to people that, when I've had to do marriage counseling, or when I've talked to unbelievers that have a lousy marriage, I'll say, well, what's your manual for marriage? And they'll go, well, you know, just do whatever, whatever. And I say, well, if you buy a new car, you get a manual, don't you? Well, God's word is our manual for life. It teaches us how to live. It teaches us how to be the best we can be in every situation. Let's go to Ephesians chapter 6. So it's the word of truth. It's a word that gives life. It gives health. It's a word that is just, upright. It shows us God's loving kindness. It's a word of reconciliation. It's the word of life. In verse 17 here it says, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. It's the sword of the spirit. What does that have to do? Well, it's in the context of the armor of God, right? And a sword is for, it's a weapon, and it's for protection. Mm-hmm. And it's to ward off, you know, the enemy, keep him at bay, or to overcome. So it's the sword of the spirit. You know, in Revelation, you talk about Jesus Christ, and, you know, I don't understand the whole thing. It may be figurative, but it says, out of his mouth came a sword. Well, he's speaking the word of God, and the word of God is powerful. And so that's, you know, it says that God says things and it causes them to happen, right? So it's the sword of spirit. So when we speak the word, there's power to it. Let's go to Psalm 107. Could have just done this whole teaching in Psalms if I wanted to. Okay. 107, verse 20. Everybody knows this verse too. It's referring to the Exodus. And, you know, verse 19 says, then they cry unto the Lord in their trouble, and he saveth them out of their distresses. He sent his word and healed them and delivered them from their destructions. Well, God would not do any less for us, would he? We're his sons. They were his servants. So we see that God's word is all of these things. We see how great it is. We see how magnificent it is. We see that it's reliable, that it's truth, that it heals. It gives us peace. I mean, I could have looked up that verse too. So the question is, how much time does the word take, or how much space does it take up in your mind, right? How much space does it take up? How much time do you spend with God and his word? Just for the joy of it, just for the desire to know him better, to know your father better, to love him more. Does it rule your thoughts and your decision making? You know, and that's something it should. I remember back a long time ago, we used to say, many people hold the word, but it doesn't hold them. Meaning they could, you know, give you verse after verse that they memorized, but when they live their life, you know, they put it aside. See, it should be, you know, important. It should be vital in every decision we make and in our thinking process every day, you know. Do you love the word? Well, if you love the word, then what do? You give it time, don't you? When you love a person, you want to be with them, right? Yeah. Well, if you love the word, then you should want to be with the word. You should treasure that time with the word. Let's go to Jeremiah, verse 15. So we listened to this teaching and this guy was saying it, and it was really impactful. Because when you hear something like that, you have to think, well, am I doing as much as I can? Am I being my best? Because sometimes we get distracted, right? We get distracted. We get pulled down by the things of the world. But, you know, if we hold that word where it belongs, that helps us deal with all that other crap. So in verse 16, now Jeremiah, I've been studying him. We're going to do it Tuesday night. We're going to do some stuff with Jeremiah. Jeremiah was a prophet, and he was a prophet at a time where, well, most of them were prophets, at a time when it wasn't really a great time to be a prophet, because the kings were not good kings, and they didn't like the prophets because the prophets confronted them. And Jeremiah had a tough time because it was the time of the Babylonian captivity. And what does he say here? He says, verse 16, thy words were found, and I did eat them. And thy word was unto me the joy and rejoicing of my heart. For I am called by thy name, O Lord God of hosts. You know, the word was the joy and rejoicing of his heart. It's what got him through all the difficult times that he had to go through. You know, they threw him into a sewer, you know, and he had to be there for a while. They put him in prison, you know, all kinds of horrible stuff. he had to go hide. He delivered a scroll to the king, and he had to hide. God, it says God hid him because they would have killed him. But what did he say? He said, the word, I found thy word, and it was the joy and rejoicing of my heart. You know, when I think about that, is the joy and rejoicing, is the word the joy and rejoicing of my heart? Well, it should be, and I want it to be. Well, if I want it to be, then I have to make the effort. I have to decide that I'm going to do it. Let's go to 2 Timothy, chapter 1. Verse 13, it says, hold fast the form of sound words which thou heard of me in faith and love which is in Christ Jesus. So here it says, hold fast the form of sound words. That's God's word, right? Sound words are whole words. It's kind of similar to what it said in Proverbs when we first started. It says, attend to my words, right? Mm-hmm. Hold fast to them. Keep them in the midst of thine heart. Keep them there. You know, dwell upon them. Think about them. You know, sometimes we read a verse and we go, oh, that's nice. You know, but what about thinking about it, putting it in your heart and holding it there for a while, mm-hmm. thinking about what it really means. You know, sometimes just reading one verse and thinking about it will do you more than reading 20 verses.
Yeah.
You know, you just... dwell upon it. It says we are to meditate upon the word, which means to speak it to yourself. Let's go to Titus. Page over, I would assume. And in Titus, in verse 9, chapter 1, verse 9, it says, holding fast the faithful word as he hath been taught, that he may be able to be able by sound doctrine both to exhort and to convince the gainsayers. It says here we're to hold fast the faithful word. The word is faithful. What does that mean? It means it's reliable, it's trustworthy, it's steady. It's, you know, it's what we need it to be, right? If we talk about somebody being a faithful person, that means, you know, they show up every day. You know, they are there when they need to be, when they're supposed to be. And that's what God's word is. It's faithful. It's there when we need it. It's always there for us. And it's always there when we need it, especially. Let's go to James chapter 1. Verse 21. It says... wherefore, lay apart all filthiness and superfluity of naughtiness. That sounds horrible, doesn't it? And receive with meekness the engrafted word which is able to save your souls. But be doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. So here it says we are to receive the word with meekness. You know, we are to receive it. You know, we never know enough of God's word, and we never know it all, so we should always be meek to receiving it, to learning it, to understanding it better. And then it says we're to be doers of the word. We're not to just have it, but it's to be used in our life. It's to be applied. It's to be lived. And that's why I said before, you know, it should be part of our decision making, part of our thought processes. And when we think and when we make decisions, that's what determines our actions, right? That's what happens. So we hold on to and spend time with the things that we love. And the word should be one of those things that we give our heart to, that we care about, that we decide to make it a big part of our lives. Let's go to Psalms again, 111. Psalm 111. It says, praise the Lord, praise ye the Lord. I'll praise the Lord with my whole heart in the assembly of the upright and in the congregation. It's verse 1 of Psalm 111. The works of the Lord are great. Well, aren't his words part of his works? Mm-hmm. Yeah. The works of the Lord are great, sought out of all them that have pleasure therein. His work is honorable and glorious, and his righteousness endureth forever. He hath made his wonderful works to be remembered. The Lord is gracious and full of compassion. He hath given meat unto them that fear him. He will ever be mindful of his covenant, of his words. He watches over his word. He protects it. And he always makes sure it comes to pass when we believe it. He hath showed his people the power of his works, that he may give them the heritage of the heathen. The works of his hands are verity, which is truth, and judgment, which is justice. All his commandments are what?
Sure.
They're absolutely sure. Mm-hmm. They're absolutely reliable. They're precise. They're exact. They stand fast forever and ever, and they are done in truth and uprightness. He sent redemption unto his people. He hath commanded his covenant forever. Holy and reverend is his name. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. A good understanding have all they that do his commandments. His praise endureth forever. The fear of the Lord, the respect, the awe, is the beginning of wisdom. And a good understanding have they that do his commandments. You know, how do we know about God? From his word, right? That's the only way we really know about him. You know, we could look at the sky. In the old, in ancient times, they looked at the stars and they looked at the nature and they said, well, there must be a God. But then they made up stuff, didn't they? Mm-hmm. And sometimes what they made up was really wacky. Most of the time, it was really wacky, you know? They worshiped the sun god and the moon god and the stars and animals and all kinds of stuff. See, but we praise God for his works, and his greatest work is his word. Let's go to Psalm 112 right next after that. We're just going to look at one verse. Verse 1, it says, praise ye the Lord. Blessed is the man, or happy is the man that feareth the Lord, that delighteth greatly in his commandments. Huh, you want happiness? Well, delight in God's word. That's what it says. That's a formula for happiness. And let's go to Psalm 119. And of course, every verse in Psalm 119 has something to do with God's word. We're just going to look at a couple of them. It says in verse 11, thy word have I hidden mine heart, that I might not sin against thee. Well, we know how loving and kind and good and caring God is. He's our father. He fathered us. He went to a great deal of effort and work so that we could be his children. So why would we want to sin against them, right? So one of the ways we protect against that is we have his word hidden deep in our heart. We have it there. Verse 18, it says, open thou mine eyes that I may behold wondrous things out of thy law. Mm-hmm. You know, God will show us. If we ask him, he'll teach us. He's the greatest teacher. And when we are meek to him and we allow him, he will teach us what we need to know. Mm-hmm. And verse 48. My hands also will I lift up unto thy commandments, which I have loved, and I will meditate in thy statutes. Mm-hmm. So here the psalmist says, I will lift up thy commandments, which I have loved. He loved them. Well, how did he love them? He spent time with them. He looked at them and says, and I will meditate in thy statutes, meaning he'll think about it. He'll put them over and over and over in his mind, thinking about them, which is what I said. Better to spend time thinking about one verse and really understanding it than just reading 20 and just not remembering anything, you know? I have some verses and I run through them every day in my mind. And when I do that, I think about them. You know, I just have certain verses that I have that are my verses that I picked out. And every once in a while, I add another one, which is, it's getting to be a long list. But anyway, so the first key of the three keys in being a spiritual person and living a great life is to love God's word. And the next thing is fellowship with the Father, which we'll look at, and then confess who you are in Christ. I had a friend once, well, I still have him, and every time I'd say, how you doing, he'd say, as he is. You know, what a great answer. When people ask me, I usually say, they say, how are you? I'll say, great. But you know what? As he is better than great. Mm-hmm. It is. So, love God's word. And, you know, you decide to love God's word. It doesn't just happen. You decide to do it. And when you decide to do it, you'll see great benefits.